Blog Talk Radio.
Podcast family, welcome, 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 and thank you for tuning in. This is a Hodge to Hodge production, the Messenger Edition. We have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. I am Nurse Carmen, and again, thank you for tuning in, and next we will be having a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, and thank you once again for tuning in. This is our hour of conversation, getting to know who and whose you really are. As I stated in all of our podcasts, is as something is being said and you're not quite understanding what is being said, my first action for you to do is go within and ask yourself. But please feel free that if it's a question that you want to bring out, to the podcast members. Please don't hesitate. We're all here to learn. And as I said, we are all messengers of God. And I want you to know that you do not live each day to discover what it holds for you, but to create it. You are creating your reality every minute, probably without knowing it. Now, here's why this is so and how that works. God has created you in the image and likeness of God. God is the creator. You are three beings in one. You can call these three aspects of being anything you want. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, mind, body, and spirit, superconscious, conscious, and subconscious. Creation is a process that proceeds from these three parts of your body. Put another way, you create at three levels. The tools of creation are thought, word, and deed. All creation begins with thought, proceeds from the Father. All creation then moves to word. Ask and you shall receive. Speak and it shall be done unto you. All creation is fulfilled in deed. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That which you think of, but thereafter never speak of, creates at one level. That which you speak of and speak of creates at another level. That which you think, speak, and do becomes made manifest in your reality. To think, speak, and do something which you do not truly believe is impossible. Therefore, the process of creation must include belief or knowing. This is absolute faith. This is beyond hoping. This is knowing of a certainty. By your faith shall ye be made healed. Therefore, the doing part of creation always includes knowing. It is a gut-level clarity, a total certainty, a complete acceptance as reality of something. This place of knowing is a place of intense and incredible gratitude. It is a thankfulness in advance. And that perhaps is the biggest key to creation, to be grateful before and for the creation. Such taking for granted is not only condoned, but encouraged. It is the sure sign of mastery. All masters know in advance that the deed has been done. Celebrate and enjoy all that you create, have created. To reject any part of it is to reject a part of yourself. Whatever it is that is now presenting itself as part of your creation, own it. Claim it, bless it, be thankful for it. Seek not to condemn it, for to condemn it is to condemn yourself. If there is some aspect of creation you find you do not enjoy, bless it and simply change it. Choose again. Call forth a new reality. Think a new thought. Say a new word. Do a new thing. Do this magnificently, and the rest of the world will follow you. Ask it to, call for it to, say, I am the light and the way. Follow me. This is how to manifest God's will on earth as it is in heaven. It does not work that way for all of us. Some of you are using the system consciously with full awareness, and some of you are using it unconsciously without even knowing what you are doing. Some of you are walking in wakefulness. Some of you are sleepwalking. Yet all of you are creating your reality. Creating, not discovering. using the power God has given you and the process I've just described. So you ask when your life will take off? I have given you the answer. You get your life to take off by first becoming very clear in your thinking about it. Think about what you want to have. Think about what's out of your mental construction. Lose all pessimism. Release all doubt. Reject all fears. Discipline your mind to hold fast to the original creative thought. When your thoughts are clear and steadfast, begin to speak them as truth. Say them out loud. Use the great command that calls forth creative power. I am. Make I am statements to others. I am is the strongest creative statement in the universe. Whatever you think, whatever you say, after the words I am, set into motion those experiences, calls them forth, brings them to you. There is no other way the universe knows how to work. There is no other route it knows to take. The universe responds to I am, as would a genie in a bottle. Now, you say release all doubts, reject all fear, lose all pessimism, as if I'm saying pick me up a loaf of bread. But these are things are easier said than done. Throw all negative thoughts out of your mental construction. Might as well climb Mount Everest before lunch. It's rather a large order. Harnessing your thoughts, exercising control over them is not as difficult as it might seem. Neither, for that matter, is climbing Mount Everest. It is all a matter of discipline. It is a question of intent. The first step is learning to monitor your thoughts, to think about what you are thinking about. When you catch yourself thinking negative thoughts, thoughts that negate your highest idea about a thing, think again. I want you to do this literally. If you think you are in a doldrum, in a pickle, and no good can come of this, think again. If you think the world is a bad place filled with negative events, think again. If you think your life is falling apart and it looks as if you'll never get it back together again, think again. You can train yourself to do this. Look how well you've done training yourself not to do it. You have a great need to have it all one way or the other. I'm going to answer. As you can best understand, though I tell you now that your answer is within. I say this to all people who hear this and seek God's truth. Every heart which earnestly asks which is the path to God is shown. Each is given a heartfelt truth. Come to God along the path of your heart. Not through a journey of your mind, you will never find God in your mind. In order to truly know God, you have to be out of your mind. Yet, your question begs an answer, and I will not step aside. And the question is, what is the true path to God? Is there through re-identification? As some yogis believe. And what of this thing called suffering? Is suffering and service the path to God, as many ancestors say? Do you earn our way to heaven by being good, as so many religious teachers? Or are we free to act as we wish, violate or ignore any rules, set aside any traditional teachings, dive into self-indulgence, and thus find nirvana, as many New Agers say? Which is it? Strict moral standards or do as you please? Which is it? Traditional values or make makeup as you go along? Which is it, the Ten Commandments or the Seven Steps to Enlightenment? Now, that's the question. And I'll tell you this. I will begin with the statement that will startle you and perhaps offend the sensitivity of many. There are no such things as the Ten Commandments. Why would God command itself? And why would such commandments be required? Whatever God wants is, how is it therefore necessary to command anyone? And if God did issue commandments, would they not be automatically kept? How could God wish something to be so badly that God would command it and then sit by and watch it not be so? What kind of a king would do that? What kind of a ruler? And yet I tell you this, God is neither a king nor a ruler. God is simply and awesomely the creator. Yet the creator does not rule, but merely creates, and keeps on creating. God has created you, blessed you in the image and likeness of God, and God has made certain promises and commitments to you. God has told you in plain language how it would be when you become as one with God. You are as Moses was, an earnest seeker. Moses, too, do as you now stood before God begging for answers. Oh God, my Father, he called. God of my God, designed to show me, give me a sign that I might tell my people how we can know that we are chosen. And God came to Moses, even as he comes to you now, with a divine covenant, an everlasting promise, a sure and certain commitment. How can I be sure? Moses asked. Because God has told you so. You have the word of God. And the word of God was not a commandment, but a covenant. These then are the Ten Commandments. You shall know that you have taken the path to God, and you shall know that you have found God. For these will be signs, these indications, these changes in you. You shall love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And there shall be no other God before God. No longer will you worship human love or success, money or power, nor any symbol therefore. You shall set aside these things as a child set aside toys, not because they are unworthy, but because you have outgrown them. You shall know you have taken the path to God because you shall not use the name of God in vain. Nor will you call upon God for frivolous things. You will understand the power of words and of thoughts, and you will not think of invoking the name of God in an ungodly manner. You shall not use God's name in vain because you cannot, for God's name, the great I Am, is never used in vain. That is, without results, nor can it ever be. And when you have found God, you shall know this. And God will give you these other signs as well. You shall remember to keep a day for God, and you shall call it holy. This so that you do not long stay in your illusion, but because yourself to remember who and what you are. And then shall you soon call every day the Sabbath, and every moment holy. You shall honor your mother and your father, and you shall know you are the Son of God when you honor your father, mother. God in all the ways, in all that you say or do or think, And even as you do honor the mother, father, God, you, your, and your father and mother on earth, for they have given you life, so too will you honor everyone. You know you have found God when you observe that you will not murder, that is, willfully kill without cause. For while you will understand that you cannot end another's life in any event, all life is eternal. You will not choose to terminate any particular incarnation, nor change any life energy from one form to another without the most sacred justifications. Your new reverence for life will cause you to honor all life forms, including plants, trees, and animals, and to impact them only when it is for the highest good. And these other signs will God send you also, that you may know you are on the path. You will not defile the purity of love with dishonesty or deceit, for this is adulterous. When you have found God, you shall not commit this adultery. You will not take a thing that is not yours, nor cheat or convene or harm another to have anything, for this would be to steal. I promise you, when you have found God, you shall not steal, nor shall you say a thing that is not true, and thus bear false witness, nor shall you cover your neighbor's spouse. For why should you want your neighbor's spouse when you know all others are your spouses? Covet your neighbor's goods, for why would you want your neighbor's good when you know that all goods can be yours and all your goods belong to the world? You will know that you have found the path to God when you see these signs. For God promised that no one who truly seeks God shall any longer do these things. It would be impossible to continue such behaviors. These are your freedoms, not your restrictions. These are God's commitments, not God's commandments. For God does not order about what God has created. God merely tells God's children, this is how you will know that you are coming home. Moses asked in earnest, how may I know? Give me a sign. Moses asked the same question that we ask now, the same question all people everywhere have been asked since time began. God's answer is likewise eternal, but it has never been and never will be a commandment. For who shall God command, and who shall God punish should his commandment not be kept? Because there is only God. So you say, so I don't have to keep the Ten Commandments in order to go get to heaven? There is no such thing as getting to heaven. There is only a knowing that you are already there. There is an acceptance, an understanding, not a working for or a striving. You cannot go to where you already are. To do that, you would have to leave where you are, and that would defeat the whole purpose of the journey. The irony is that most people think they have to leave where they are to get where they want to be. And so they leave heaven in order to get to heaven and go through hell. Enlightenment is understanding that there is nowhere to go, nothing to do, and nobody you have to be except exactly who you're being right now. You are on a journey to nowhere. Heaven, as you call it, is nowhere. Let's put some space between the W and the H in that word. And you'll see that heaven is now here. Heaven is now here. If heaven is now here, then how come I don't see that? Why don't I feel that? And why is that world? Why is the world such a mess? Now, God understands your frustration. It's almost as frustrating trying to understand all of this as it is trying to get somebody to understand it. I tell you this, every experience you have, God has. Do you not see that God is experiencing itself through you? What else do you suppose all of this is for? God could not know God's self were it not for you. God created you that God might know who God was, am. Now, I would not shatter all of your delusions about God in this one podcast. So I'll tell you that in most sublime form, which you call God, God does not experience frustration. But that's not because God can't. It's simply because God chooses to. Don't choose to. You can make the same choice. Well, frustrated or not, I still wonder how it can be that heaven is right here and I don't experience it. You cannot experience what you don't know. And you don't know you are in heaven right now because you have not experienced it. You see, for you, it is a vicious circle. You cannot have not found a way yet to experience what you do not know. And you do not know what you have not experienced. What enlightenment asks you to do is to know something you have not experienced and thus experience it. Knowing opens the door to experience, and you imagine it's the other way around. Actually, you know a great deal more than you have experienced. You simply don't know that you know. You know that there is a God, for instance, but you may not know that you know that. So you keep waiting around for the experience, and all the while you keep having it. Yet you are having it without knowing, which is like not having it at all. So it's like going in circles here. Yet, but you see, and instead of going around in circles, perhaps, we should be the circle itself. This doesn't have to be a vicious circle. It could be a sublime one, a sublime one. So is reincarnation a part of the truly spiritual life? Yes, because ultimately all spirits renounce what is not real. And nothing in the life you lead is real, except your relationship with God. Yet, reunification in the classic sense of self-denial is not required. A true master does not give up something. A true master simply sets it aside, as he would do with anything for which he is no longer has any use. These are those who say you must overcome your desires. I say you must simply change them. The first practice feels like a rigorous discipline. The second, a joyful exercise. There are those who say that to know God, you must overcome all earthly passions. Yet, to understand and accept them is enough. What you resist persists. What you look at disappears. Those who seek to earnestly to overcome all earthly passions often work at it so hard that it might be said this has become their passion. They have a passion for God, a passion to know him. But passion is passion, and to trade one for the other does not eliminate it. Therefore, judge not that about which you feel passionate. Simply notice it. Then see if it serves you. Given who and what you wish to be. Remember, you are constantly in the act of creating yourself. You are in the very moment deciding who and what you are. You decide this largely through the choice you make regarding who and what you feel passionate about. often a person of what you call a spiritual path looks like he has renounced all earthly passions, all human desires. What he has done is understand it, see the illusion, and step aside from the passions that do not serve him, all the while loving the illusion for what it has brought to him, the chance to be wholly free. Passion is the love of turning being into action. It fuels the energy of creation. It changes concept to experience. Passion is the fire that drives us to express who we really are. Never deny passion, for that is to deny who you are and who you truly want to be. The renunciation never denies passion. Renunciate simply denies attachment to the result. Passion is a love of doing. Doing is being, experiencing. Yet what is often created as part of doing, expectation. To live your life without expectation, without the need for specific results, that is freedom. That is godliness. That is how God lives. So you say God is not attached to result? Absolutely not. God's joy is in the creating, not in the aftermath. Renunciation is not a decision to deny action. Renunciation is a decision to deny a need for a particular result. There is a vast difference. Beingness is the highest state of existence. It is the purest essence. It is the now, not now, the all, not all, the always, never aspect of God. Pure being is pure God. Yet, it has never been enough for us to simply be. We have always yearned to experience what we are. And that requires a whole other aspect of divinity called doing. Let us say that you are at the core of your wonderful self, the aspect of divinity called love. That is, by the way, the truth of love, of you. Now, it is one thing to be love and quite another thing to do something loving. The soul longs to do something about what it is, in order that it might know itself in its own experience. So it will seek out to realize its highest ideas through action. This urge to do this is called passion. Kill passion and you kill God. Passion is God wanting to say hi. But you see, once God or God in you does that loving thing, God has realized itself and needs nothing more. Man, on the other hand, often feels he needs a return on his investments. If we're going to love somebody, fine, but we better get some love back. That sort of thing. This is not passion. This is expectation. This is the greatest source of man's unhappiness. It is what separates man from God. The renunciate seeks to end this separation through the experience some Eastern mystics have called samadhi. That is oneness and union with God, a melting with and melting into divinity. The renunciate, therefore, renounces results, but never ever renounces passion. Indeed, the masters know intuitively that passion is the path. It is the way to self-realization. Even in earthly terms, it can be fairly said that if you have a passion for nothing, you have no life at all. So you have said that what you resist persists, and what looks like disappears. You want me to explain that a little bit. You cannot resist something to which you grant no reality. The act of resisting a thing is the act of granting it life. When you resist an energy, you place it there. The more you resist, the more you make it real. Whatever it is you are resisting, what you open your eyes and look at disappears. That is, it ceases to hold its illusional form. If you look at something, truly look at it, you will see right through it and right through any illusion it holds for you, leaving nothing more ultimate reality in your sight. In the face of ultimate reality, your puny illusion has no power. It cannot long hold you in its weakened grip. You see the truth of it, and the truth sets you free. But then you say, but what if you don't want the thing you are looking at to disappear? You should always want it to. There is nothing in your reality to hold on to. Yet, if you do choose the illusion of your life over ultimate reality, you may simply recreate it, just as you created it to begin with. In this way, you may have in your life what you choose to have and eliminate from your life which you no longer wish to experience. Yet, never resist anything. If you think that by your resistance you will eliminate it, think again. You only plant it more firmly in place. Have I not told you all thoughts is creative? So you say, even a thought that says I don't want something, in thought. Yet, if you must think about it, that is, if you cannot think about it, then do not resist. Rather, look at whatever it is directly. Accept the reality as your creation. Then choose to keep it or not, as you wish. What would dictate that choice? You and what you think you are, and who and what you choose to be. This dictates all choices. Every choice you have made in your life. This is not a truth. The word renunciate holds such wrongful meaning in truth. You cannot renounce anything because what you resist persists. The true renounce does not, the true renunciate does not renounce, but simply chooses differently. This is an act of moving towards something, not away from something. You cannot move away from something because it will chase you all over hell and back. Therefore, resist not temptation, but simply turn from it. Turn towards God and away from anything unlike God. Yet know this. There is no such thing as an incorrect path, for on this journey, you cannot get wrong where you are going. I'm going
Amen.
To stop now. I know I've said a lot, and I just hope that something was said that we were able to sink down within, so that maybe you have questions that you want to have a conversation with God and let God reveal these things to you. But the most important thing that I'm here trying to get us to understand is who we really are. And
Amen.
We can be just who we want to be. We just have to believe God at His word. Don't believe me. Believe God at His word. I thank you all very much for tuning in tonight. I pray that something was said, and I hope that you'll find it not robbery to tune in Thursday as we expound a little deeper, getting to know who and whose we really are. I love you all. Have a blessed evening and a fantastic week, and you can do it. All you have to do is choose to have it. The choice
Amen.
Is yours. I love you all. Good night, and I'll talk to you again on Thursday. Good night,
Thank
everyone.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.